Welcome to Dental Dilemmas, brought to you by the ADA Council on Ethics, Bylaws, and Judicial Affairs. I'm your host, James Purvis. Today, using the ADA's Code of Ethics and Professional Conduct, we will analyze one of the council's most popular ethical moments. Today's question is posed by Alex Mellion and is slated to be published as an ethical moment in the next few months. It is New Year's Day. My colleague, a pediatric dentist, received a message on her emergency line from the parent of a potential patient who is not a patient of record. The potential patient is routinely seen by another dentist down the street from her office, and this dentist informed the parent that he was out of the office due to illness and referred her to my colleague. The potential patient has a partially avulsed and fractured number 7 with a pulpal exposure and needs emergency treatment. My colleague's office policy is to return emergency calls for patients of record within an hour. However, this seems to be a gray area because the potential patient was, quote, referred. What are the ethical considerations regarding this emergency referral? We are thrilled today to have Dr. Alex Mellion with us, the Season 1 podcast host of Dental Dilemmas. He serves on the ADA's Council on Ethics, Bylaws, and Judicial Affairs. Dr. Mellion, thank you so much for being with us today.
James, it's a pleasure to be here. It's a great experience to be on the other side of the microphone today. So it's an honor to be here and great to keep contributing to Dental Dilemmas.
Well, we're thrilled to have you. If you wouldn't mind, maybe tell our listeners a little bit about you, where you practice, how you practice, and any relevant experience or anything you'd like to share.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a private practice orthodontist in Northeast Ohio, practice with my dad and brother. I'm a Case Western Reserve Dental School graduate, went to St. Louis for orthodontic training. I'm currently just finishing up my time on the ADA New Dentist Committee for a few more days here. And then at the end of this session, I'll be finishing my time and commitment to that. So I also served on CBJA for 2 years as the ADA New Dentist Committee liaison. So it's wonderful to be back in the CBJA crew here.
Well, I've got to say, when I read this particular ethical moment, very poignant, very relevant, and I certainly enjoyed going through this in my own mind as I was reading it. Was there an experience or some experience that you have had with emergency referrals that might be similar to the instance discussed in this article?
Yeah, absolutely. So this article is actually about my wife. She's a pediatric dentist. This was an experience that she had a few years ago, and we talked through it. I felt this would be a great article to discuss and write up as a article for JADA.
What sorts of policy do you have in place with your practice regarding referring patients or responding to referrals?
So if it is an immediate emergency and not something that I can handle, I'll call the office that I'm referring to explain the situation and make sure that an appointment is made is typically how we handle it. So a lot of times with trauma, as an orthodontist, we'll see younger teenage patients that are playing sports, may be on a scooter and have an accident with that, or playing with a sibling, catch the back of the head. So kind of all things that we see. We've got a number of patients obviously in treatment, and that active age, we see they may call us first because they have braces on their teeth. So we will either kind of manage that situation or replace an avulsed tooth if need be, and then kind of touch base with their general dentist and see their referral pattern from there, or if they'd like, refer to endo. So we typically will address it if need be. And if it's something, like I said, we can't handle, then it may be something where we try to get the dentist or endodontist on the phone to make sure that's managed in a timely manner.
In this article, it's a little interesting because the patient is not technically a patient of record. It's a patient who has been, quote, referred by another dentist who, due to illness, is not able to see the patient. What differences are there between how you respond, or maybe expectations of response, for established patients versus patients that have been referred to you?
A patient of record, I think it's a responsibility to get back to them in a timely manner. I think it's your own office policy or your own situation as to how you handle that. And if it's a patient not of record, I think there's a lot of things to look at with that. I think one being, you may want to leave something on your emergency line that says patients of record, expect a call back within this amount of time. For patient not of record, we may get back to you during regular business hours and state what those are. But there's also concerns with, if you're going in after hours, having team members with you, if you're seeing somebody that you haven't seen before. So it may be best to if you can't get back to them, have an option for them to possibly see another provider that may be available during those hours.
In the article, you touch on communication, perhaps some things that the, quote, referring dentist could have done differently, or maybe some expectations of communication within your community with your colleagues. What measures do you take to manage communication expectations within your community when it comes to patients and colleagues?
I think the more educated the patient is about what to expect, the better. I feel it helps for them to be prepared as to what to expect when coming into the appointment. Typically, we try to cover on the phone what the patient will experience when they come in. So I feel like that's important. But also just having a frank conversation with a colleague sometimes, letting them know that here's my cell phone. If you need something, please call. In this situation, it would have possibly been helpful if the dentist of record would have called as well, or had their office call if they were ill, the touch base to make sure that that patient could be seen by my wife, the pediatric dentist, in that standpoint. So that's just maybe a best practice that would help, because if she wasn't available or didn't get back to them, maybe kind of continue to see if there are other options for referral would be quite helpful.
I think about the principle of justice here. We get many calls after hours, emergencies, patients calling, and sometimes there are things that are non-emergent, things that don't need to be immediately managed. And other times, like this, time is of the essence. And right. Seeing the patient in a timely manner is important. How does the patient expressing that there is an emergency affect your response or your response time?
I think a lot of it comes down to training your team members to take the initial phone call, to ask some questions, to see exactly what the situation is, and to kind of get them seen as soon as possible as needed. So I think we have a system in place that our team member that may take the call, if they say this and this is happening, we need to be notified immediately. And if we aren't available, there's kind of a system that they can go through to help that patient get into the care that they need. If we aren't available for some reason, then we may have another orthodontist in the area that we've tapped to ask to cover call for us, or helping to try to reach out to their general dentist to get in to see them.
In this article, you state that the referring dentist is adhering to the principle of non-maleficence by recommending that this patient seek emergency care in their absence. They're ill, they can't see the patient. What are the measures can dentists take to minimize the potential for unintended harm to the patient's health?
I think just helping them be seen if they're not available. And it may not be the dentist themselves, but again, their team members, getting them into the office to be seen is just important. And I think having either someone on call covering for you and have that established, or if it's an emergency where you're not able to come in, picking up the phone, making a call or text even anymore, just to make sure that they can get seen rather than kind of putting it on the patient. Because I feel that as you're the dentist of record, you have some responsibility from that ethical standpoint to make sure that there's an avenue that they can be seen.
In a situation like this, one of the principles that goes straight at the top of the list for me is veracity. Mm-hmm. You're on the phone with the patient. You're trying your very best to provide sound advice, truthful advice, manage expectations. And whether you wind up treating the patient or not, being honest with them about whether you can treat them, whether you can see them, what you're recommending, what do you see is the main role of the principle of veracity when managing emergency referrals?
I think a lot of it starts with a proper diagnosis. I think there's a lot of technological aids that can help with that, but proper diagnosis, seeing the patient, making a diagnosis, taking proper radiographs and going from there is kind of the core principle that should be followed. But at the same time, everybody has a smartphone now. Being able to take a picture and send it and then triage that accordingly can really help if something is emergent. I know, like I said, my wife's a pediatric dentist. She gets more frequent calls than I do from an emergency standpoint. But sometimes it's a concerned parent that their child hasn't lost a tooth yet, and they just want some reassurance that it's a baby tooth that they just lost or the adult tooth's coming in. Sometimes that photo can help that communication, as well as decide if it's something, it's 8 p.m. and we need to go in, or it can wait for tomorrow. So you need the proper diagnosis, but at the same time, you can be using a cell phone sometimes to triage some of those issues. You need to have, just keep in mind that you have a HIPAA compliant system and those proper protections in place, but keeping up with, I think using those aids can really help set the patient at ease as needed.
You mentioned in the article having a community of resources that you're aware of ahead of time that you can share with potential emergency patients. having access to AEGD programs, GPRs, understanding there might be a hospital nearby with a pediatric resident, what steps do you take to ensure that you maintain a current referral list within your own community?
I think this is easier for some dentists and more challenging for others, depending on how large of a city you're in, if you're in a more rural community. I think it's helpful to know if a local hospital has an oral surgeon on call or a AGD or GPR that has a dental resident on call. Just that knowledge, I think, helps quite a bit and isn't always known. Not that you should necessarily just rely on them when you don't want to go in, but I think knowing that can help quite a bit for patients. And then also in some larger cities, there's emergency clinics. I know we were just talking with one of our colleagues here at SmileCon, and one of her classmates runs a 24/7 emergency dental clinic with a number of doctors on call. So there's different dental models that may work depending on your city. And I think just being aware of those and having contact with a lot of the referrals that you work with, and I think having a cell phone number helps quite a bit. And sometimes just reaching out directly can help that referral process for the patient.
Well, thank you for writing this article. What an important, what a timely, what a poignant topic. I think all of our listeners, all of our readers are going to find something in here that can help them in their practice. Now, I can't help but ask, as the season one podcast host, can you offer any insights or advice from your time in hosting the podcast?
Yeah, absolutely. I think what I really enjoyed with it is having these discussions. You meet a lot of really interesting and unique people. I still remember from my first episode, I interviewed Dr. Tom Holly and just had come across something online of how he was interested in storm chasing and such, just different paths that dentists take and different hobbies. It's dentistry as a whole is a really unique and rewarding profession, and the hobbies that people take and different things that they do is really quite interesting. And these conversations have been great for me. And I think everybody does things differently from a dental standpoint. There's not necessarily one right answer, but the more time that I spent with CEBJA and with Code of Professional Ethics and just reviewing that material, everything in dentistry is ethics. We talk about, you have an ethics class and you think you don't really think about it much after dental school, or a lot is how my initial thoughts were, but every conversation like this is ethics, and what should you be doing for your patients and the profession, I think, is really what comes down to it. So this has been a great experience and really appreciated having this chat.
We've been so happy to have you here today. It's an honor to serve with you on the new dentist committee. Certainly admire your service to CEBJA, and it's been a true pleasure sitting down with you and discussing what I think is a very, very important topic. Thank you for being with us today, Dr. Melian.
No, absolutely. It's been a pleasure, and you and Dr. Depp have done a wonderful job with season two here, and I'm excited to hear some of these episodes recorded at SmileCon the last few days. So it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Well, thanks again, Dr. Melian. A final note about the episode. Please see the show notes for a link to the original article, and stay tuned for future episodes. At the close of the episode, continue listening to hear the sections of the ADA's Principles of Ethics and Code of Professional Conduct pertinent to the original Ethical Moment article. This article discusses four sections of the ADA's Principles of Ethics and Code of Professional Conduct. These sections are as follows: beneficence, or to do good. The dentist has the duty to promote the patient's welfare. This principle expresses the concept that professionals have a duty to act for the benefit of others. Under this principle, the dentist's primary obligation is service to the patient and the public at large. The most important aspect of this obligation is the competent and timely delivery of dental care within the bounds of clinical circumstances presented by the patient, with due consideration being given to the needs, desires, and values of the patient. The same ethical considerations apply whether the dentist engages in fee-for-service, managed care, or some other practice arrangement. Dentists may choose to enter into contracts governing the provision of care to a group of patients. However, contract obligations do not excuse dentists from their ethical duty to put the patient's welfare first. Justice, or fairness. The dentist has a duty to treat people fairly. This principle expresses the concept that professionals have a duty to be fair in their dealings with patients, colleagues, and society. Under this principle, the dentist's primary obligations include dealing with people justly and delivering dental care without prejudice. In its broadest sense, this principle expresses the concept that the dental profession should actively seek allies throughout society on specific activities that will help improve access to care for all. Non-maleficence, or do no harm. The dentist has a duty to refrain from harming the patient. This principle expresses the concept that professionals have a duty to protect the patient from harm. Under this principle, the dentist's primary obligations include keeping knowledge and skills current, knowing one's own limitations and when to refer to a specialist or other professional, and knowing when and under what circumstances delegation of patient care to auxiliaries is appropriate. And finally, veracity or truthfulness. The dentist has a duty to communicate truthfully. This principle expresses the concept that professionals have a duty to be honest and trustworthy in their dealings with people. Under this principle, the dentist's primary obligations include respecting the position of trust inherent in the dentist-patient relationship, communicating truthfully and without deception, and maintaining intellectual integrity. Remember to keep ethics at the forefront of your daily practice and stay tuned as Siebje decodes dental dilemmas.